Radio Prague News.
The Czech gas supplier RWE Transgas has sent its representative to Ukraine to take part in a European monitoring mission. Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek is to travel to Kiev on Friday to push for a quick resolution to the gas crisis between Russia and Ukraine. In an article for the German daily Süddeutsche Zeitung, historian Timothy Garton-Ash has slammed the EU as divided and weak. Czech gas supplier RWE Transgas has sent its representative to Ukraine to take part in a European monitoring mission aimed at helping restore deliveries of natural gas from Russia to Europe. Early on Wednesday, Russia completely turned off supplies to Europe in a gas pricing dispute with transit country Ukraine. The decision has affected at least a dozen EU countries, some of which have declared an energy emergency. RWE Transgas reported Friday that gas flow within the Czech Republic was currently sufficient. And Friday, the head of the European Council, Czech Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek, will travel to Kiev to hold talks with Ukrainian representatives to ensure that members of the European Commission's monitoring group are dispatched as quickly as possible to key areas. Both the European Commission and the Czech EU presidency are pushing for deliveries of Russian gas to Europe to resume as quickly as possible. In related news, the spokesman for the European Commission on Friday warned that the earliest the deliveries of Russian gas could resume to EU countries would be 3 days. According to the spokesman, it would take 30 hours for initial supplies to reach Ukraine once Russia switches on the gas, and an additional 36 hours for supplies to reach EU countries. On Friday, the Commission said there was hope that Russia would resume supplies shortly, but an exact date remains unknown. British journalist and historian Timothy Garton-Ash has written that the current crisis in the Gaza Strip, as well as the crisis over gas supplies from Russia, show the European Union to be weak and divided. He made the case in an article for the respected German daily Süddeutsche Zeitung a little over a week after the Czech Republic took up the EU presidency. The historian criticized it was difficult to take EU foreign policy seriously given divisions within the Union, citing as a case in point separate simultaneous missions in the Gaza Strip. One mission this week was led by Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg, another by the French President Nicolas Sarkozy. Czech President Václav Klaus received U.S. Ambassador Richard Graeber at Lany Chateau on Friday in connection with the end of his diplomatic mission in the Czech Republic. Mr. Graeber, who has been the U.S. ambassador to Prague since October 2006, said on Friday he considered the lifting of U.S. visa requirements for Czechs as the biggest achievement during his posting. A day earlier, he expressed the conviction that another project, the deployment of a U.S. missile radar base on Czech soil, would be completed. Mr. Graeber steps down as U.S. ambassador to Prague on January 20th. Finally, just a quick look at the weather now. Partly clear skies with some sunny periods are expected into the weekend. Daytime temperatures on Saturday are expected to stay as low as minus 4 degrees Celsius. I'm Jan Vellinger, and that's the news.
Hello, you are listening to Radio Prague, broadcasting from the Czech capital with me, Ruth Franíková. Coming up today, the Czech Deputy Prime Minister says Europe should be better prepared for future energy crises. A German journalist says the miracle of a Yugoslav woman surviving a 10,000-meter fall from a plane over Czechoslovakia in 1972 is based on a deliberate lie.
We have a former investigator of the Yugoslav side who told us, I have been there, and I tell you, this plane broke apart in some 100 meters height, not more.
And we have a summary of the week's business news. Later on in the program, we meet singer Klára Vitisková from the new Czech band Toxic. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Europe's gas crisis has dominated the first week of the Czech EU presidency. Indeed, Czech Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek travelled to Ukraine on Friday to help negotiate an end to Ukraine's dispute with Russia. The security of Europe's energy supplies is one of the Czech presidency's three priorities and gas-dominated talks by EU foreign ministers in Prague. In fact, the Czech Republic's deputy prime minister says Europe must be better prepared to deal with a similar crisis in the future. Rob Cameron has this report.
Tens of thousands of people, most of them in Central and Eastern Europe, have been left shivering from Russia and Ukraine's dispute over gas supplies. The Czech Republic itself was completely cut off from Russian gas this week, while Slovakia declared a state of emergency and even recruited the help of neighbouring Poland, which has been bringing in natural gas on lorries. Speaking after a day of meetings with EU foreign ministers in Prague, Deputy Prime Minister Alexander Vondra told reporters this was a fine example of Europeans helping each other out in times of crisis, but said the EU must be better prepared if the taps are suddenly turned off again in the future.
Unfortunately, we are not very well prepared for that. So we need to elaborate a mechanism how we would have the contingency planning for the situations like this, before we would have a better infrastructure inside the EU to fix those problems.
Many in Europe would like to see the sort of solidarity shown by Poland to Slovakia enshrined in a more formal framework. Indeed, one of the clauses of the EU's Lisbon Treaty emphasises the need for solidarity in the field of energy. Alexander Vondra again.
Well, there are two ways of solidarity. There is a solidarity as a political principle, and it should be a guiding principle for all EU members in the time of the crisis, with or without the Lisbon Treaty, and that's the situation where we are right now. Certainly, and you are right, that the Lisbon Treaty, once enters into force, has some means of for the enhancing of that cooperation, including in the era of energy. So if you want to have the sentence whether the Lisbon Treaty can contribute to better cooperation in that particular field, I can tell you yes.
The Czech Republic, of course, hasn't ratified the Lisbon Treaty, so it's something of a moot point. But it's not just contingency plans for future emergencies. The Czech EU presidency wants long-term solutions for Europe's energy security needs, something laid down in its priorities for the next 6 months. A statement released after Thursday's informal talks said the EU would speed up work on a number of initiatives, including linking up more gas pipelines within Europe.
Rob Cameron with that report. Vesna Vulovic, a flight attendant on a Yugoslav plane that broke apart above northern Bohemia in 1972, holds the world record for surviving the highest fall without a parachute, 10,160 metres. Now, however, that story has been challenged by a German journalist in Prague. He says the official version of what happened was a communist fabrication. Vesna Vulovic fell from a far shorter distance, and the plane may well have been shot down by Czechoslovakia. Ian Willoughby reports.
Podíval jsem se a tady na tu louku padali lidi.
Ich habe geschaut und da auf die Wiese fielen Menschen.
In a radio documentary set for broadcast on ARD on Saturday, Petr Hornung Andersen produces evidence to suggest the miracle of the survival of Vesna Vulovic was of a far lesser order than currently believed. The German journalist says she didn't fall from over 33,000 feet. Something had already happened at that altitude to force the plane, flying from Copenhagen to Zagreb on January 26, 1972, into a rapid descent. Witnesses say the plane experienced a second event only a few hundred metres above the Czech village of Srpska Kamenica. They saw flames and one heard the sound of a second plane. For this reason, Petr Hornung Andersen says the official story that a bomb planted by Croatian ultranationalists went off at 10,000 metres is a lie. What's more, the plane may well have been shot down by Czechoslovakia, he says.
We can prove that the plane broke apart right above Srpska Kamenica because the area where the debris was spread is much too small for a plane breaking apart in 10,000 metres. If you compare it to Lockerbie, or to Überlingen, a crash in southern Germany some years ago, the area was much larger. Also, the dead, the bodies of the dead, these were not people falling from great height, but only they looked as if they had fallen from a high building, not more. And we have a former investigator of the Yugoslav side who told us, I had been there in 1972, and I tell you, this plane broke apart in some 100 meters height, not more.
Why did the Czechoslovak authorities make up the story, as you allege, of the plane being bombed?
It was easier for them. It was was a fascinating story. Yeah, they had this woman who survived, and second, they had an event they wanted to cover up. So it was logical for them not to tell the truth. Everybody believed it, and nobody ever checked the story and investigated if it was really correct, even in the West.
You say in your radio program that's being broadcast tomorrow, I believe, that the plane may have been shot down by Czechoslovakia. Why would they have done that?
There were two main reasons. First, the plane, which was in an emergency descent, did not have the possibility to identify, because there were, just before the event in great altitude, there were problems in the communication between civilian and military air control concerning this plane. So the military air control in the southern GDR, in the German Democratic Republic, did not exactly know what was coming in that moment. Then there was the event in great height. Then they had no possibility to use their radio communications. And they flew into a territory, into an area which was militarily highly sensitive, because there were many military installations by the Soviet, and at the same time, high-ranking Warsaw Pact leaders were flying back from Prague to their capitals. Mr. Honecker, the German, was flying from Prague to Berlin. Gierek, the Pole, was flying to Warsaw. And maybe, we are not sure of this, maybe even Leonid Brezhnev from Moscow was flying in this area.
How likely do you think it is that the plane actually was shot down by Czechoslovakia?
I consider it likely, I do.
Ian Willoughby was speaking there to the German radio journalist Peter Hornung Andersen. And now I'm joined in the studio by Daniela Lazarova for a roundup of the latest business news.
The Czech Republic's state debt currently stands at almost 1 trillion crowns, according to the finance ministry. Last year, the state debt rose by more than 107 billion, while the previous year it rose by around 90 billion crowns. Today, it stands at 999.5 billion crowns, just short of a trillion. This debt means that each Czech citizen carries 96,000 crowns worth of state debt, which currently represents more than a quarter of Czech annual GDP. Much of the reason for the debt is spending financed by loans from the European Investment Bank and other foreign markets. Meanwhile, household debt currently stands at around 865 billion crowns. Such debts are likely to grow as the current economic crisis leads to greater government borrowing to stimulate the economy and offset falling revenues. Conversely, the Czech budget deficit was recently reported as being the lowest in 11 years.
The Czech gas trading company Česká Plynárenská has announced that it has secured additional gas supplies from Norway to combat the effects of the loss of supplies from Russia via Ukraine. Normally, the Czech Republic sources 70% of its supplies from Russia, with only 30% coming from Norway. Under the terms of the deal agreed in London on Wednesday, 1 million cubic feet of gas have been secured, with the flow of supplies set to begin almost immediately. However, the arrangement does little to address long-term the gap in supplies from Russia, with around 200 million cubic meters per day required from the east. At present, the pipeline structure in the Czech Republic is not equipped to fully shift reliance away from Russian supplies, although the current crisis has made such plans gain increasing attention.
The nuclear power station Temelin, situated in South Bohemia, has failed to meet its yearly target for the delivery of electricity, according to the plant's operator, ČEZ. According to figures provided by the operator, the Temelin nuclear power plant supplied 12.1 terawatts of electricity to the national grid in 2008, 11% short of its target. The failure to meet its target is being blamed on a series of technical problems at the plant, which in several cases resulted in temporary shutdowns. ČEZ had hoped that 2008 would see Temelin beating its previous record of power produced, set in 2004. Nonetheless, the power plant still produced a fifth of the total electricity supplied in the Czech Republic that year. In contrast, the Czech Republic's other nuclear power station at Dukovany announced a record amount of electricity generated in 2008. Together, the two plants generate a third of the country's electricity supply.
The Czech Republic has reported a 500 million crown trade deficit in November, meaning that imports have exceeded exports, a matter of concern for a country that relies on exports for much of its GDP. The figure represents a stark 13 billion crown turnaround from the previous year's figures and also represents the biggest year-on-year shift in fortunes since 1994, according to the Czech Statistical Office. The sharp shift from surplus to deficit is being attributed to the global economic slowdown as demand for Czech exports decreases in Europe and around the world. Indeed, the figures revealed a trade surplus of 39.2 billion crowns with Europe, but this is offset by a 39.7 billion crown deficit with the rest of the world, amounting to a net deficit of 500 million crowns. The most significant trade deficits are with China and Russia, while the strongest surpluses are with neighbouring Germany and Austria, which remain strong net importers of Czech products. A reminder that you are with Radio Prague, coming your way from the Czech capital here in Central Europe. In the final part of our program today, we meet Klára Vitisková, the lead singer of the new Czech band Toxic.
I want my boyfriend to be so sad. I want that spotlight to be shining on me. It's like that. And don't talk about this. Don't be so long to be like I said, to be so bad.
One of the most exciting bands to have emerged on the Czech music scene over the last 12 months is the funky and progressive pop group known as Toxic. Headed by singer Klára Vitisková, who some have described as a Czech Gwen Stefani, the band released its debut last year and soon shot up in the charts. The single Two Sides is now widely well known. While an appearance in last year's Eurosong, the national round of the Eurovision contest, only added to Toxic's popularity. The band and the music are the focus of today's arts.
I love my sweet cute dress, yeah, I do. Since I lost my doll, I've been playing with you. Bring me strawberries and champagne to my bed. I like that. And don't talk about the don't be so long. Do be like I said.
Many have called Toxic, headed by charismatic singer Klára Vitisková and guitarist Patrick Karpensky, one of the biggest surprises on the Czech music scene. The five-member group, which draws inspiration from performers like Stevie Wonder, Amy Winehouse, and others, released their debut last February and since have grown in popularity performing concert after concert. I recently caught up with Klára Vitisková and asked her to tell me more about Toxic's debut.
We were working on it was last year, till the end of January and February. It was ready, I think. But it was really hard. I spent a lot of time. The recording is one thing, but I know the booklet, cover, and all design around, and yeah, we were in a stress. But, you know, I like that. For this first album, I brought many of my songs, because I were composing, I know, from my 15, so those were like teenage songs I brought, and we were just working on them all together. I bring chords and melody and maybe a bass line, and we are finishing it together.
The idea for Toxic came together when Vikiskova was studying jazz at college, meeting Patrick Karpensky, her teacher. The two discussed forming a band. As far as the music was concerned, the idea was to mix different styles, something which has become a core trademark for the group.
All of the guys and me were listening to different kinds of music. Now there are Led Zeppelin, like Vilda is listening to IMX. I like, I know, Gwen Stefani. I really love Motown, old Motown stuff like Supremes, Stevie Wonder and Temptations.
Whether they realize it or not, many Czech listeners will now have heard the band's single Two Sides at least once, and probably many more times than that. Klára Vikiskova says the idea for the song came to her in a flash.
It was funny with those two sides. It was ready, I know, in 5 minutes. I just came home and I was next to my piano. I was like, oh, I don't really like that. And was ready, I know, in 5 minutes. It was like almost ready. So we just, yeah, made those bass line with guys.
Come on, everybody, clap your hands and move your body. Come on.
The video for the song, which you can see on YouTube, has also proven highly popular.
We made that in a studio. I prepared all my room, all my little stuff there, so it looks like flat. The guys are playing my husband's in different cases, and I'm still their wife. It's about those American hip-hop videos where are those pretty girls with those hip-hoppers and they're wearing those gold rings. And the opposite side is a wife at home with husbands. And so we had a lot of fun there.
Attention to detail is perhaps one secret to the band's success. But that doesn't mean there isn't room for improvement, Vikiskova explains.
Yeah, we don't really practice a lot because guys are really busy. They're playing each in 8 bands, you know. So it's really hard to find one day to practice. So we just need to play. And after a few concerts, we just felt that it's okay. Yeah. But still, I think we need to practice more because we are making those little mistakes in our concerts, which actually you can't hear, but I know about them and it's just, it's not good.
And don't talk about the... Don't want to be so wrong. To be like I said, to be so bad. Don't want to be so wrong. To be like I said, to be so mad. Don't want to be so wrong. To be like I said...
Many have now noted Vikiskova's talent as both a singer and a performer, as well as her passion for retro-fashioned lounge-style couches and colorful theatrics. All are essential, she says, to the band's performance.
Pop is, for me, connected with a show. Like, you know, you have Justin Timberlake, which is, like, great pop singer. And I know they have money for the show. It's like, so I said, you know, I want to have a show without no money. So I started to, you know, to redress myself on stage, and I have my sofa on stage, and I have my carpets and pillows and everything. So I feel they're like at home. That's what I wanted to do. I like clothes, like preparing costumes. So I'm just touring around all second hands and buying those crazy clothes and trying to make some costumes. So maybe in the future I want to have some store with a, I know, I'll see, with us some my creations.
Compared to North America and parts of Western Europe, the singer says vintage fashion in the Czech Republic still comes fairly cheap. There are other differences too.
Yeah, there's, you know, there's a problem. If you go out and you're crazy dressed, they're looking at you like you're, I don't know, mad. I know, just, that's really strange. I was in Berlin, also in New York City, and those, they have so many, like, good stores there, but it's still much more expensive there, because they know, they know the value of those vintage things. In here, what I like, that you can go to second hand and you can find those super old Adidas, I know, jacket for 50 crowns. And there you can buy it for, I know, 2,000 crowns. Because they know the value. And in here, that's what I like in here. I can buy special boots for 10 crowns. So that's what's good in here.
Since their debut, Toxic have performed a lot, but are now taking a brief hiatus. But Vicky Skava says they'll get together soon enough to begin putting together material for a new album. All that's needed now is a little inspiration.
Often it's coming while I'm in a pub with my friends, and I don't have a paper, I don't have a pen, and I don't have nothing. And I go to the bathroom and I'm recording it to my cell phone, just because it's coming always when you just don't expect it. It's like, I'm not sitting at home and saying, yeah, it's good, yeah. No, it's not like that.
I don't really like the soul track. I want my boyfriend to be so sad. I want that spotlight to be shining on me. It's like that. And don't talk about this. Don't be so long. To be like I said.
Klára Vitisková talking to Jan Wellinger. And that edition of The Arts brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague. From myself, Ruth Franíková, and all of us here at the station, goodbye and take care.
Don't wanna care about my baby sitting in a chair. Oh, I'm so lazy. Don't wanna lie you. But I hate you, boy, it's like that. And don't talk about it. I love my sweet cute dress, yeah, I do. Since I lost my doll, I've been playing with you. Bring me strawberries and champagne to my bed. I like that. And don't talk about it. Don't want to be so long. Don't be like I said, don't be so bad. Come on, everybody, clap your hands and move your body. No, come on, everybody, clap your hands and move your body. Yeah, come on, everybody, clap your hands and move your body. Come on, everybody, clap your hands and move your body. No, come on. I want my boyfriend to be so sad. I want that spotlight to be shining on me. It's like that. And don't talk about this. Don't want to be so long. To be like I said, to be so bad. Don't want to be so long. To be like I said, to be so mad. Don't wanna care about my baby sitting in a chair. Oh, I'm so lazy. Don't wanna lie you, but I hate you, boy. It's like that. And don't talk about it. I love my sweet cute dress, yeah, I do.